It's time for Hoag Health Radio. Here's your host, Deborah Howell.
Hello and welcome to the program. Thanks so much for being here. On today's show, we have a very special guest. She is Jean Homer, and she's the coordinator of the Hereditary Cancer Program at Hoag Cancer Center. She has a master's in genetic counseling from UC Irvine and is a board-certified genetic counselor. Welcome, Jean.
Thank you.
Always so nice to have you on the show.
Nice to be here.
We're going to have a bit of a discussion today about hereditary cancer, so it's always good to dive right in and start with a working definition. Could you possibly define hereditary cancer in layman's terms for us, Dr. Homer?
Absolutely. Reminder, not Dr. Homer, just Jeannie.
I know, I'm so sorry. I always want to do that because you're so smart.
Aw, thank you. What we mean when we say hereditary cancer is that in some families, a predisposition to cancer can be passed down in the form of a faulty gene from one side of the family or the other. And in case you're wondering, breast cancer susceptibility gene can be passed down from the father, and likewise a prostate cancer gene can come from the mother's side. So either parent can pass on one of these genes.
That seems highly unfair, doesn't it?
I know. It doesn't seem to make any sense, but it's the way things are.
Okay. So they pass down, you'd call it a trait, or what did you call it?
Yes, it's actually a gene that might have a equivalent of a typographical error in the gene.
Okay, that's a great layman's way to put it. Okay, so maybe you think that you are one of these people, and maybe you could help us in describing how an individual would get tested.
Okay. The first part is really to make an appointment with a genetic counselor genetic counselors specializing in cancer are actually experts in the field. And the best preparation is to find out all you can about your close family relatives and their diagnoses of cancer, exactly what type of cancer and what age they were diagnosed. And then we analyze the family and determine whether the cancer is likely to be hereditary or not. Because, Deborah, actually only about 10% of cancer is considered to be hereditary.
Okay.
And it's very important to clarify that, you know, having a relative or a couple of relatives with cancer, that's not the same thing as hereditary cancer.
Okay.
So what we're trained to do is to analyze and see whether it might be hereditary or not, and then if it is, which gene we might consider testing. And then the testing itself is usually just a collection of a small sample of blood or saliva, and test results take about a week or two.
That sounds relatively painless. I wanted to get into the relatives. Now, is it an uncle? How far do you go? Do you go to your second great aunt twice removed?
Usually, we look at four generations, grandparents, parents, the individual and their children. And sometimes we go further out, especially if it's a small family and there are not enough close relatives to give us enough hints that we need.
What about siblings?
Siblings, of course. So
okay.
the person and their siblings, those are the closest relatives are the most important.
Okay.
And another thing that's really important is the size of the family, so we can put it all in perspective.
Sure. So if you're one of nine kids and four of your brothers and sisters are having problems, then you might be a good candidate.
Right. The things that we look for would be someone diagnosed at a young age, and that's usually defined as under 50, or someone with a rare type of cancer, or someone diagnosed with more than one cancer. And then the most obvious, of course, is multiple people on the same side of the family with the same or related type of cancer. Those are all hints that cancer in the family might be hereditary.
Okay. When you say more than one type of cancer, could you give me an instance?
You mean a person? So this could be a person diagnosed with colon cancer one year and kidney cancer the next, or a woman diagnosed with breast cancer and then ovarian cancer.
Does this happen a lot?
That people are diagnosed with more than one cancer?
Yes.
Again, hereditary cancer is not that common, again, about 10%. But, yeah, a lot of times people are, I shouldn't say a lot of times, of course, you know, for me, the people that I see have often been diagnosed with more than one type of cancer.
So Tell me what a non-hereditary cancer is. It environmental, or you know, what's the alternative to hereditary cancer?
Oh, good question. Most cancers are considered to be sporadic, and a high proportion of them are due to just the things that we're exposed to and living in this world. And that's why most cancers occur at an older age, because we've just had years and years of being exposed to all the things that we're exposed to, and that they're not always terribly well defined. We certainly know some of them, like ultraviolet light, sunshine, and the skin cancers, and smoking is, of course, associated with lung cancer and bladder cancer and pancreatic cancer and a host of cancers.
Sure. Okay, and then, you know, toxic situations, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're not really calling them environmental cancers. You're calling them sporadic cancers. That's the alternative to hereditary cancer, right?
Yes.
Okay.
There's sort of the two broad classifications, hereditary and sporadic.
Now, many couples are wondering about having children, of course, if one or both of them are at risk for hereditary cancer. Do you have counseling available for concerned couples?
Well, the first part would be to identify that it is hereditary in one or the other of the patients, the parents, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, because hereditary cancer is pretty preventable, or at least detected at an early stage, through once we identify someone, we provide them with the national recommendations for prevention and early detection. And so typically people aren't that concerned about having a child with the condition. Sometimes if it's really serious and there's a very high chance of developing a cancer at a young age, some people might consider prenatal diagnosis, but there's kind of some ethical quandaries with that.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Because it's different from something where a child is born with a serious life-threatening birth defect.
Right. Wow, the ramifications are endless, aren't they?
Yes, and the reason that we do try to identify these families and people who are interested in finding out is that steps can be taken. It's not something that's, you know, we just give them bad news and that's all they can do.
Right.
Recommendations are usually for screening to start 15 to 20 years younger than in the general population, and and to be done more frequently, so that in many cases the cancer can be prevented. Just for example, if someone has a high chance to develop colon cancer, we can give them the recommendations that they start screening at a younger age, and then they remove a colon polyp, and then the cancer never develops at all. Oftentimes, in hereditary cancer syndromes, when people aren't aware of it, their chance to get cancer can be as high as 80 to 90%.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
Big difference, and I love the word preventable. When we're talking about cancer and hereditary cancer.
Oh, yes. Much better to prevent it than to find it and treat it.
So you find it at, let's say you find it at a very early stage, and like you just gave the example of the polyp being removed. What if it's breast cancer? What would you do in that case very early on in terms of treatment?
Treatment is actually something that's best discussed by an oncologist, but certainly any cancer that's found at a much earlier stage usually it's just much easier to treat before it's spread. But again, that's an oncologist field.
Sure.
I can't really comment on it.
You're the Sherlock Holmes that's trying to prevent the crime rather than solve it.
Right.
That's got to be a wonderfully just satisfying way to spend a day.
It's absolutely satisfying. It really is. And many of our patients contact us years later letting us know how this has helped them and their families.
Well, I know it's touched you personally with your father's instance, and that's really kind of what got you started on this path, right?
Yes, actually. I was a computer programmer, and then my father was diagnosed with cancer. That was 20 years ago, and that, you know, when a family member is diagnosed with cancer, your concern immediately goes to that person. And,
absolutely.
But then at some point, you begin to wonder, well, what does this mean for me and my chance to get cancer? And then I completely changed my whole career and went back to school and became a genetic counselor and then been really focused on hereditary cancer to help people answer that question.
And you help people every day. Today we're speaking with Jean Homer about hereditary cancer and genetic counseling. Thank you so much for being on the show. Jean is the coordinator of the Hereditary Cancer Program at Hoag Cancer Center and is a board-certified genetic counselor. For more information on Jeannie Homer and her work, you can visit hoaghospital.org, and you can also listen to a podcast of this show whenever you like, and do tell a friend. This is Deborah Howell for Hoag Hospital in Newport Beach. Please stay with us. There's much, much more to come.